Joining us in studio this morning, Jake Shepherd. He's a founder and a director at Asynthesis. This morning, we are asking the question, how do we create a healthy workplace culture? Jake, good morning. Thank you for coming back.
Good morning.
You obviously enjoy it here because you do keep coming back into studio.
Thank you very much for having me on again. I really appreciate it. Gives me, I suppose, an opportunity to talk about some of the things that keep me up at night.
And workplace culture keeps you up at night.
It certainly does.
Zanati, what keeps you up at night? Workplace culture?
No, just personal optimization.
Yeah. Well, that's actually very good for workplace, I think. All right. First of all, what is a healthy workplace culture?
Well, let's just start off with the famous phrase by Peter Drucker. Mm-hmm. We said culture eats strategy for breakfast. Yes. And I think this has been repeated loudly and often.
Yes. But just as a matter of interest around that quote, I did some research on it, and no one can actually find where he said it.
Could well be.
Interesting. It does fit into his philosophy. Sure. So he most likely did, but there's no actual record of him having said that for the first time, which is quite funny, but it's one of my favorite sayings.
For sure. Mm. And I actually asked, people know what strategy is, but like, what is culture? And I asked this question. I was giving a talk at a company called Pop to Position to the management and leadership team. And I got a great response by a guy by the name of Joel Goba. Mm. And he said that if you see the people within the company as like the musicians, then culture is the symphony that actually helps them make music.
Oh, I love that.
And I love that metaphor.
Yeah, what a beautiful metaphor.
And I think it sings, actually. Mm.
Okay, well, excuse the extended metaphor and maybe mix it up just a little bit.
So I think really what you're trying to achieve with a good workplace culture, you're trying to achieve the fact that you're going to cause a company to grow. So from a sales point of view, like an innovation point of view, and you also want to create raving fans with your culture, and externally and internally. So that really helps in terms of attracting new talent and retaining talent that you have. And lastly, you want to produce a company where employees are engaged and they haven't checked out, because that really assists with productivity and innovation and contribution.
So from a company's perspective, it's very valuable to have a good culture.
For sure. And I think nothing highlights this more than in 1992, there was a study by John P. Cotter and James Haskett where they looked at what is the effect of corporate culture on the success of a company. Mm. And they did something quite interesting. They actually surveyed a whole bunch of companies, and they took 12 of the companies which they felt had a really healthy culture, which really valued the employees and their customers and the owners of the business, and really promoted leadership throughout the organization. And then they contrasted that with, and they found 12 companies in that basket, and they contrasted that with another 20 companies that didn't have a performance-enhancing culture. And they said, well, one way of trying to measure success is you can look at the stock price. So these were listed companies. And they did.
So there was a measurable.
It was a measurable thing. And they also looked at net income and things like that. But if you just look at the stock price, over an 11-year period, the 12, let's call it healthy culture companies. Let's start with the not so healthy culture companies. So the 12 weak culture companies, they had a growth of 74% in stock price. And if you contrast that with the good culture companies, their growth was 901% on average.
Incredible.
It's a 12-fold difference. So culture actually is an incredibly strong bottom line influence.
Well, if you think about it logically, first of all, people work harder. They put their hand up in a healthy culture. They'll put their hand up to volunteer, to do things. They also market your company better because each person that a company employs who is happy talks about their happiness outside of the workplace. And it attracts other staff that are good people.
100%.
There's so many levels that this functions on.
Yeah. And that snowball effect is very real, and I see it. So I think it's a good point that you're pointing out. And I think one of the things, still, culture is a little bit nebulous. Like, it's hard to put your finger on it. And it's nice that it's a symphony, but it's hard to put your finger on it. And I think what I'd like to try and do is maybe suggest a bit of a framework or structure, and to say that really culture is about how it makes people feel within the workplace.
Right.
And I think let's look at four different areas. And so a good culture makes people feel A, valued, They need to feel connected.
Right.
They need to feel that they're making a difference, they're contributing.
Right.
And they need to feel that they're growing. And I think if you can achieve all four of those things.
What is the second one? So it's value
connected.
Connection.
They need to be, feel connected.
So it's value, connection,
that they
contribution,
make a contribution, and growth.
And growth. Okay. So those are your four things.
So you need to strive for creating an environment where that's the case. And if you look at, like, in terms of people feeling valued, I'm sure anecdotally people know about, when they look about friends and family, they will leave an organization if they don't feel valued. And conversely, as soon as people start to feel valued and that their contribution is appreciated, they stay. And I think that's, like, just as an initial thought, being valued is really important. But then the question is, well, how do you make people feel valued? And I think one way of doing so is behavioral specific praise. So it's important to praise people, but praise, well, that's a bit nebulous, like, well, you're a great guy. It's almost a little bit condescending. But if you...
It's like, you know, when our kids weren't doing so well at school in the younger years and they were in the more religious, maybe a more, you know, that kind of an environment, and we'd go to a parent's teacher feedback and they'd say they have a beautiful neshama, a beautiful soul.
Yes,
well, that's great, but that's helping nobody right now. So exactly. But what
what's behavioral specific
exactly.
praise? And I think
exactly.
really you can look at it as what do you need to do and how do you need to do it? And what you need to do is actually the word behavior gives it away. You need to praise the specific behavior. You have to acknowledge it was that thing.
Me in a studio, Jake Shepherd, director and founder at Synthesis. We are talking about workplace culture.
Yeah, so where we left off is making people feel valued. And part of that, let's say, is behavioral specific praise. So you need to really, when you're praising somebody, praise them for a specific thing. And then tell them, like, why it's appreciated and what sort of a difference it made. And then in terms of how you do it, we'll make eye contact. And be sincere. So an example is a lady by the name of Tracy Morris proactively decided to do like a census or get some input across the company in terms of like what really works at Synthesis, what doesn't, and how can we improve. And she just decided to do it of her own volition, and I was very supportive of when she told me she was going to be doing it. And really got a lot of really good information. And then after she did it, I said to her, you know, Tracy, I really appreciate the fact that you actually did all this work, holding all these workshops and getting the feedback and then collating it and really understand that it's something that I couldn't do because potentially my employees wouldn't open up to me. And really what you've come out with is something that is so useful. And I think the process itself is useful for the people to actually know that their views are being heard and they're, and they're making a difference to how the culture, the company goes forward. So that sort of a praise is really important.
Right.
And it actually works because sometimes you won't particularly like your job or you won't like a specific part of your job. But because someone has told you that you're doing very well in that specific part, you actually, it gives you, you know, positive vibes that you can actually do this. And you actually do it even though you don't particularly like it.
And I think you come to like it then.
Yeah.
Because if you're doing something, getting positive feedback for it, it changes your perception maybe of what you were doing. So it's again, that whole snowball effect.
Yeah, and I think if you're looking at the next area, we need to make people feel connected. And I think when you're a small company, people tend to feel connected because there aren't that many people in the company, so everyone speaks to each other reasonably often. And I think as you grow, one of some of the challenges you have, they're like disparate job functions and areas within the company, and maybe geographically they're project teams that are working off-site, and people start feeling, well, I've been a little bit forgotten about, and I'm stuck out here. And I think you actually have to actively work at trying to create that connection.
Right. So we've spoken about value. We've spoken about connection.
Yeah.
Right.
And then, I mean, an example, I suppose, of how to do that could be just randomly calling up an individual, like a director to call up an individual and just say hi. That might be one way of doing it. But another way of doing it is just to encourage dialogue, have evenings, like I think we have like whiskey tasting evenings, whatever, but create an environment, team meetings, etc., where everyone's invited. Try and create that sense of connection. And then I think the next thing you need to look at is how do we make people realize that they have a sense of contribution and they make a difference to the organization. Because I think that's something that really becomes
How does
really
that
important.
Differ from value?
So value is why what I'm doing is valued by other people.
Okay.
Whereas contribution is how am I
contributing to the whole.
To the whole. How am I helping to move the needle forward?
Right.
There's an amazing TED talk. I think it's the third most TED talk ever by Simon Sinek on starting with why.
Yes.
And he really delves into the importance that many companies know what they do, they know how they do it, but they battle to articulate why they do it. The end result is maybe to make money. Yeah, but really, it's not the reason why you're doing it. What made you want to provide that service or do that thing? So I actually looked on the Chai FM website to see if there's a why statement, and I didn't find one. There could well be, but I thought I'd just take the liberty and try and create a why statement for Chai FM.
That's so interesting.
And so how about this for a why statement? Try it on for size.
Right.
So creating a better South African...
Right.
Creating a better South Africa by contributing the unique Jewish perspective to the national conversation.
Oh, I love that.
Wow.
I love that. Okay. Somebody write that down.
but if you think about it, you sit up when you hear this. If you're part of this mission,
because
it resonates.
It's exactly right. And if we know, everybody involved with Chai knows that is the why.
Yes.
But contributing to a better South Africa.
By bringing, unique and proudly Jewish perspective to the national conversation.
I like that.
I really like that.
And then I think when you do something like that and you make it open and you say this is what we are, every single presenter and every single person working to make the station, and even guests coming onto it, I suppose, to make the station successful, they say, well, how can we contribute to a better South Africa? What opinion and what input can we give to the national conversation that will uplift and inspire? And I think that is something that is really important. So that's one way of helping people feel that they're making a contribution. Explain what it is you're doing, and people can then actually attach what they do on a daily basis to that overall mission. And I think that's like really important.
I'd love your thoughts on 34519 or 061-895-1019. I am chatting to Jake Shepherd. Zanati, you're saying?
So my first ever job, I used to work for this bank, and I didn't particularly like my job because I felt like it didn't fit into my vision.
Right.
But seeing, you know, clients come in and me helping them, you know, save on bank costs and, you know, showing them how to bank on their cell phones, seeing just, you know, how my service was making life easier and better for them. That for me was great, to the point where even after I left the bank, I still even tell people that, oh my goodness, like if you want a good bank, go to this bank.
That's so interesting.
Yeah. Even though I didn't really like my job.
But that does go to that point, is that you felt you were making a contribution.
Yes.
That's where I can see that it's different to value.
Yes.
Because it didn't mean somebody was saying, Zanati did a great job on this.
Sure.
But she could see the contribution that she was making.
It's the wellspring of space of inspiration to actually say, well, this is what my contribution is to the company. I can see it. I'm making a difference. I think there was a study done quite a while ago where they had people building Lego blocks and then they would bash it down and make them build something and bash it down. And effectively, yes, they were building, but it was constantly being destroyed and people felt that they weren't contributing actually to the overall thing and actually totally undermined them.
Completely.
So I think making people, I think Friedrich Nietzsche actually famously said, he who has a why can bear almost any how.
Yeah,
so absolutely. It's really trying to tap into that and make that an important part. And then the other area is we need to give people a sense of growth. That's incredibly important as well. You need to be able to create an environment where growth can occur. So one way of doing that, I suppose, is to make it safe for failure. Because unless you make it safe for failure, people can't try out new things. They can't say, all right, from a synthesis point of view, we work in an emerging technology space, which almost, and at the bleeding edge of a lot of that technology. So unless you're playing around with all this new technology that's coming out, you don't know how things are going to turn out, but unless you're playing around and experimenting, and unless we're creating a space where it's okay to fail, you won't actually ever succeed. So I think that's another important aspect of trying to create a culture for growth is allow failure. and support the fact that people might well fail.
Right, but that's only one aspect in terms of growth. How else do you encourage growth?
Well, I suppose you could, people? I mean, a classical way is encouraging learning sessions and tech sessions. So, you know, where you actually have people who know something that is of value to other people, have a regular forum where they can actually teach other people about, you know, a unique piece of technology or unique insight or maybe soft skills, something that'll actually help. So really focus on learning and actually make learning an important, basis of any company. Really, maybe it's contributing financially and incentivizing financially so that people do constantly learn and have a constantly learning culture. And that really focus on the growth.
Really, really awesome.
And I suppose the opposite is don't micromanage.
Ooh,
I think there's nothing worse than micromanaging.
And she's on her feet and she's applauding at this point.
For stifling growth, because how on earth can you ever grow, imagine trying to be that symphony, you know, the conductor of the symphony, trying to tell every single musician.
Yes, move your finger that way. No, move your finger that way.
There's no ways you can produce anything with that. So
it's such an interesting point.
The anti-growth strategy.
Because that is so hard for so many leaders, to let go and to encourage people to try, make mistakes, but then ultimately get it right.
Yeah. And then I suppose really you could say in conclusion, what are the four things we need to do, just to recap? So we need to create an environment that makes people feel valued. They need to feel that they are connected with other people. They need to feel that they are making a difference and they're contributing, and that ultimately that they're growing. And I think when you create such an environment, you create the conditions necessary for the individuals within the organization to reach their potential. And I think that's the important thing, is that really organizations are the sum total of many, many individuals. It's not a behemoth. It's not one monolithic structure. And I suppose what you need to do is just like, and I really love Joel's description of the culture and symphony. So just like any good symphony, a company really is trying to take all of these musicians, pull them together to create a symphony. And I think this metaphor doesn't only work at the level of the conductor of the symphony, but I think it also works at the level of culture being the inspiration for the musicians as well, to lift them up to new heights. And I think when you actually get the right corporate culture working, everything comes together.
Amazing. Lots and lots of messages. Unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to get to them, but we are going to have Jake back. We're going to continue this conversation. Moshe in particular interested in this one. What about cultures when an entire country or a nation happens to have an appalling culture, let's say, of work productivity like South Africa, especially compared, for example, to Asian cultures? Stan says, what about just whipping people into shape? No, we're not doing that. We're not encouraging. And Melinda says, anyone who doubts the importance of company culture just needs to look at the company.